We give you glory. 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 Oh, we bless you, Father. We lift our hands this morning to rejoice in your faithfulness. So thank you for your loving kindness. Oh, thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the supply of your spirit. Thank you for your supernatural ability within us. Thank you for your precious spirit you have given to us. Thank you for your mighty workings. Thank you for the testimonies that are bound. Thank you for the leadings of your spirit. We're so grateful this morning, Father. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, blessed be your name forever, Father. We exalt you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I welcome someone this morning. It's good to see you. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. What a season. What a season. What a time. What a time. What a time we're in. What a season we have stepped into. What opportunities to move forward. What door is open to us. What prevailing power is made available by the Spirit. For the head of the church is at work through his own, individually and corporately, pushing us into new things, moving us into new adventures, bringing us into the fullness of his plan and the purpose, and that which has been delayed, and that which seems to be missing, and that which seems to be stagnant, you will see a turnaround, you will see a rising, you will see a quickening, and that same power that raised him from the dead will come upon you and come upon situations and come upon circumstances, and things will be transformed and lives will be changed and men will be blessed, and you shall be glad and you shall rejoice in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. For the blessing of the Redeemer is at work in our lives more than ever before this season. So arise in your place of prayer. Arise and set you upon your watch. Arise and do not slumber when it's time, when the urgency of the Spirit comes upon you. Arise and begin to stay in that place where he has put you. Arise and begin to respond to the supernatural bodies that he gives to you. And that gift of the Spirit, that burden of the Lord, as you begin to pray hard, you will see you have leverage. You will see you have advantage. You will see yourself having a upper hand in the affairs of life. No longer will you be defeated, but the redeemings of God's grace will take over, and you'll find yourself in the fullness of the center of his plan and purpose for you. For this is that season where things will either be made or things will be broken. But for you, things will be made. Things will be made. Things will be made. Things will be made. And opposition shall give way, and the victory of the Lord shall shine through. Glory to his name forever. Glory to his name forever. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we thank you, Father. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. Thank you for such a season as this. Glory to his name forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, as an assembly, we're subject to the leading of the Spirit. And it's important for us to reverence the Lord as he leads us and guides us when it comes to what he will have us do. So we've been looking at the subject of prayer, prevailing prayer by instruction. And last week we started spending some time to pray and to fast. How many of us spend time to pray and fast? Now, it's a corporate instruction, so you'll be shooting yourself in the leg if you don't participate. So do away with all excuses. Do your possible best and listen carefully. When an instruction comes to an assembly, the ability of the Spirit is always released to get that thing done. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. Hallelujah. The ability of the Spirit is always given. God's commandments are never grievous. They're never for your harm. They're always for your edification. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew 21, where we were last week. Matthew 21. And we're going to continue this morning looking at God's word in this area of prayer. Matthew 21. We look at what Jesus taught, and one of the things we established, Matthew 21, and I'm going to read from verse 13. Matthew 21 and verse 13. Matthew 21 and verse 13. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. In verse 12 it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold those. Hallelujah. So we said something last week that's important for us to understand, that the teaching ministry of Jesus was prophetic. He was a prophet. And so we looked at Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke 24 and verse 44. After he rose from the dead, there were some things that they got more clarity concerning what he had been saying before, which is important for us to understand. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be what? Fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So we said, when Jesus was teaching, it is written, my house shall be called. It shall be called. That's a prophecy. That's something already written ahead of time. And that means something that's going to happen. At that time, the temple, the physical temple that Solomon built, was a place where they came together for prayer. But Solomon built that temple to point their attention to what was promised. The temple Solomon built was not the temple of God. It wasn't the house of God. It was to point their attention to something God will do. Why? Psalm 127. Look at Psalm 127 and verse 1. We're going to look at just the A part. Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1, the A part. Are you there? I want to read it and I'll quote it. Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that what? Build it. Except the Lord build the house. So the house that was promised, which is the temple of God, was something God had in mind to build. It wasn't given to man to build, because except the Lord build the house, everyone that tries to build it will labor what? In vain. Why? The material for construction, the substance of the house, how worship should be done in the house is of the Lord. So when it says except the Lord build the house, it means God himself will bring the temple into existence. That's important. So when Jesus went into the temple at Jerusalem, figuratively was calling the attention to what that temple that God will build, what it will represent. And notice what he said, it shall be called a house of what? Prayer. That's important. Say, I'm the house of God. Prayers flow through me ceaselessly on a daily basis. When I'm not praying, I'm not fulfilling my purpose in the Lord. That's important. My house shall be called. So if there's something a believer should be recognized for on the earth, particularly by unbelievers, is that you should be recognized for a house of prayer. You are that temple of God that God labored to bring into existence in order for prayer to ceaselessly flow forth through you. And if you've been following the series, because I'm taking a different aspect during the week when we're looking at exhortation, because there's no way I can cover on Sundays everything that needs to be said concerning prayer. So if you're following the exhortation on midweek, every day on a day basis, Monday to Friday, I try to cover other aspects I cannot see on Sunday. And that's the fact that there are many things that God wants to do, but they cannot be done without prayer. Every time God wants to initiate something upon the earth, he sets a man or men into prayer. We also saw last week in Hebrews chapter 3. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Let's finish that thought. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 1. Let's read from verse 3. Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 3. See what it says. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who builds the house has more honor than the house. Next verse. It says, for every house is built by some man, but he that what builds all things is God. Look at next verse. Notice what he's trying to say. Every house is built by some man, but he that builds all things, or the inspiration for whatever Moses constructed, inspiration for whatever Solomon did, came from God. But the one who will perfect the building they are trying to communicate is who? Is God. Are we together this morning? All right, look at next verse. It says, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of the things which were to be spoken after. So whatever you saw Moses say, whatever Moses built, is a testimony to something that will be made manifest in the future. Hallelujah. So whatever Moses constructed was not the real, it was a shadow, because except the Lord build the house, everyone who tries to build it will only labor in vain. You are not the Lord. You don't have the substance, you don't have the material. But look at the next verse. It says again, yeah, but Christ, hallelujah. This is the fulfillment of what Moses dreamed about. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Say, I'm God's house. Say, I'm God's house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I read from verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So that's a rhetorical question. Okay, that's a rhetorical question. So he said, know ye not, are you not aware, yeah, that the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. So the prophecy of Jesus that he spoke in Matthew 21:13, my house shall be called the house of prayer, has been fulfilled in us. Say amen. Now, that doesn't mean you will automatically be given to prayer. You need the teaching of God's word to stir you up about the importance of prayer. Why? It doesn't come to you naturally to pray. There's an exercise in God's word and by God's spirit that gets you into the depths of prayer, because God does nothing on the heart without prayer. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's why people say things like, is everything about prayer? When they say things like that around you, walk away quickly. If it's you, that you are the house of God, everything is about prayer. Everything is what? Nothing should be handled on surface value. You can't afford to. You are not a natural being. You have a supernatural origin. You are born of the incorruptible seed of God's word that lives and what? Abides. That is something that doesn't fail. And that word was brought into manifestation through prayer. So you came into manifestation through prayer. You came into expression. Jesus rose from the grave because prayer was made before he went to the cross. So how would you think that your progress in life, the things you want to lay hold of, how would you think that you'll be able to accomplish without prayer? I mean, when God became a man, he prayed. And he prayed again. And he prayed earnestly. That's God in the flesh. That's when God became a man. To show you, prayer has nothing to do with persuading God. It has everything to do with forwarding the purpose of God upon the earth. Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus is God. He wasn't praying about house or car. He wasn't praying about marriage. He never got married. But everything he's tried to do, he will work miracles, then he will go back to go and pray. You can say he went back to go and refuel. Because more often than not, at that point where you have just obtained victory and you have successful, there's a tendency to become complacent. Have you noticed that? You just finished a major program. You prayed. The program was successful. The next thing you want to do is that you want to Netflix and chill. I'm using your language now. But that's not the time to chill. That's time to be alert. 1 Peter 5, be sober, be what? Vigilant. In that relaxed atmosphere, your adversary, the devil, he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast with Netflix? Okay. That's on your Bible? Which version is that? Steadfast where? In the faith. Let me say it to you about Majira. Your adversary walketh about. He didn't say he throws. It's not that he stops in between. He doesn't have any other job. The Bible says he knows he had but a short time. He walketh about, seeking whom he may trip up. Whom resist steadfast in the place of prayer. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. And that's one of the reasons why the greatest temptation you can ever face is after the eve of a present victory, there's a tendency to lower your guard, to sleep longer than you should, to eat more than you should, to play more than you should, to do social media than you should. After all, we just finished program. Man must rest. Yes, man should rest. But man should not slack spiritually. Because when a victory has been wrought, once you understand the mechanics, you know another victory is coming also. So you need to be on your guard. He knows exactly when you have lowered your guard. He knows. He just sang in church. The ministry was beautiful. They praised you. Tell yourself, we are the ones. Yeah, that's it. We are the ones. We are the one God is using. The man God uses enters into the lion den of prayer and comes out victorious. All the lions are slain. He comes out on top, victorious. That's figure of speech, I hope you know. That's what you do. Isaiah 66. So I can start now. Amen. That's preamble. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting your heart set. Because this business of prayer, nations, destinies, God's will for your life depends on it. That's why all this bread and butter praying, I name it, I claim it, it's not going to work. You advise the devil, go it about this, walk it like a roaring lion, seeking wounds. So the Jelenke kind of praying. That's why I like this balance. Be a word of faith person, be Christocentric with CAC mindset in prayer. Do you hear what I said? And be Christocentric, you know, we are moving word, move prayer too. Pray like your life depends on it, because it depends on it. You pray like you will die, knowing that's how you will live. You are not hearing me this morning. The season we are in, you know, we did something. There's a project we're on now. As an assembly, if you remember, I trust that you remember, that one for one. You remember one for one? Okay, what does the one for one mean? Replicate yourself. You can't do it without prayer. What are we doing this month? It's part of what we're doing. We're going to do one for one, but the first place we do it is where? In prayer. You've been going out to evangelism. You have been preaching. Everybody you have been meeting, they've been telling you they go to church. You'll not be getting results. And you are going about it the same way. You don't know that you lack power in expression. You don't know that prayer should have been done before you go out. You don't know if you want to change your results. You should immerse yourself until what Jesus said will happen. You don't realize that empty words can change lives. You don't know that there's a heaviness behind words that we speak that brings about a change, that brings the heart of men to their knees before the Lord Jesus. You don't realize that. In other words, you dress up before you dress up. Are you with me this morning? You dress up in prayer before you dress up. This is not our dressing room. This is for the camera. The redressing is on the inside, where you wear your spirit man on the outside. When you speak, it is Christ speaking through you. That's the only thing that can change lives of men. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she traveled, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has had such a thing? Rhetorical question. Have you heard that before? Had a woman brought forth before she could travel? No. No matter how little. You know, we have testimonies of women who just like, I didn't labor, I just gave her. You still did. The reason why I went to school was because there were certain promptings on the inside. There was movement on the inside. The baby came out in less than the time you thought it would, but there was still what? A pushing that took place. See what it says. Before she told me, she brought up, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has had such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth what? In one day. No. Or shall a nation be born at once? Illustrations. Isaiah has given you illustrations. Is this naturally possible? No. He says, so spiritually, as soon as what? Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. It depends on what the children are. As soon as Zion got into bad position, which is prayer, the children that were there began to come forth. In other words, you are not meant to bet anything upon the earth without actually traveling first where? In prayer. You're not supposed to. And many times, because that scripture that says, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That is, let prayer be a culture and a lifestyle, such that the prompting of the Spirit is easy for you to pick up. You don't pray because there's a challenge. You pray when there's a challenge and when there's no challenge, because prayer is your lifestyle. You are given to prayer because that is who you are. You are the house of prayer. Say, I'm the house of prayer. So you are given to prayer as a lifestyle. He says, pray without ceasing. Of course, you know, literally, that's not in that sense possible. But what he's saying is this, let be praying in season and what? Out of season. Let prayer be something you are known for. Let prayer be part of your addiction. He says, pray and don't stop. That means if you prayed in the morning, you prayed in the afternoon, you prayed night, it means you don't see, simply means there's a flow that continues. Whatever you dropped in the morning, you pick it up in the afternoon because you are sensitive to the spirit. So if there was a burden that you prayed and you had to go to work, you dropped it to do one or two things, you pick it up again because you are still sensitive in that place of prayer. It says, pray without, don't let there be interruptions. That's what it means. Interruption doesn't mean time. It's not talking about the fact that you don't do anything else. You have to cook. You have to take care of your kids. You have to go to work. So when it says pray without ceasing, simply saying, don't interrupt the spiritual flow. That's what it means. Pray without what? Ceasing. And in that place of prayer, the emotions of God are communicated to you more often than not to accomplish plans and purpose upon the earth. That's where burdens come from. And brothers and sisters, as long as our prayer is limited to give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, you will never step into that kind of prayer. And until you do, you don't know what re-praying is all about. As soon, you can't say you are traveling because of a car. You can't say you are traveling because of a house. Maybe I shouldn't assume. Are you traveling because of a house? No. Challenges, situations that will come up, understandable. But not usually for mundane things. No. As soon as she pushed, and she pressed, and she persevered, that means energy was being generated to bring forth something supernaturally. God is the supervisor. You are the one who is the willing participant. The Spirit of God has been given to you. You are the house of prayer. So before you speak to men, you sort it out in prayer first. Glory to God. They will say no. They will say no, no. Get a yes first in the spirit. When you have a yes in the spirit, it doesn't matter who is there. It doesn't matter who wants to say no. They can't say no again because you have already gotten your what? Yes in the spirit. As soon as she traveled, something happened. She brought forth. Now, God does nothing on the heart without prayer. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 13. And God said to Noah, so this is God speaking to her, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. I was explaining this, I think, during the week. How many people were there when I was explaining this? How many people were around? Okay, it's for midweek people. Praise God. Those who come for midweek service. Okay. Shall I share with them? Shall I hide it? They don't come from me. Shall I hide it? Look at the language. God said unto Noah, the hand of all flesh is coming for me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy. The word I will is absent in the original translation. So when it said, I will destroy, the word I will is absent. What he really said, destruction is about to come to the surface of the earth. So God was informing Noah, and we're going to look at that shortly. So what is he going to do? Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within, and without pitch, and without with pitch. Now, notice something. If God is the one going to destroy, will God commission an ark? No. So if God is ready to judge, will God also provide a safety from judgment? No. So man's act was filled with wickedness, and their violence was affecting the environment and has disturbed the earth. So God was announcing to Joshua, sorry, to Noah in advance, something's about to happen. I need you to do something. I need you to build an ark. If you're reading Genesis, all you see is an instruction to build an ark. But if you go all the way with me to Hebrews, look at Hebrews chapter 11. We see the writer of Hebrews pick up the story and phrase it differently in light of the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, being warned is one phrase in the original Greek. It means being intimated of events about to unfold. Noah received an intimation, a revelation of what was about to happen, which is a picture of salvation. So Noah got a revelation from God. Noah was a prophet. He says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet or not yet seen, moved with reverence, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is what? By faith. Notice the word prepared. So, if you're looking at Genesis 6, all you see is that he received an instruction to prepare an ark. So, you think it's a physical preparation. He just built an ark. But remember, he was given the revelation of things not yet seen. So, what Noah was building was a pointer to something in the future. Say amen. Now, pay attention now. He prepared. The word prepared there is used in another text. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Praise God forevermore. Or Luke 1 rather. Let's look at Luke 1. I'm going to read from verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor what? Strong drink. And he shall be filled with what? The Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he what? Turn to the Lord their God. Who was John? A forerunner of Jesus. Amen? Are we in agreement to that? Okay, so John was sent ahead of Jesus to prepare the way of the Lord. Now look at the next verse. And he shall go before him, that is ahead of the Lord, before the Lord comes, in the spirit and what? Power of Elijah. Question, what was the power of Elijah? What was the power of Elijah? You're not answering. What was the power of Elijah? It was prayer. How did Elijah lock the heavens? Through prayer. How did he unlock the heavens? Through prayer. So he shall go before the Lord. He will prepare the way. How will he prepare the way? In prayer. So one day, John the Baptist just showed up on the scene. You won't like John's sermon. His sermon is not nice. John's sermon is, you generation of vipers, who has warned you of the wrath to come? And they were coming to him. His cathedral was grass. His assembly was in the wilderness. People left the city to go to where John was. There's nothing natural about that. You know, today we have what you call church growth strategy. You go to populated areas. You go to the center of town. John stayed in the wilderness. People left city to go to man meeting. How did he prepare the way of the Lord? In prayer. He did it in the spirit and power of who? Elijah. Hallelujah. So when Noah was asked to prepare, Noah was actually instructed to pray. So 120 years while the ark was in construction, for 120 years, Noah was in prayer. Okay. Ask your neighbor, how long have you prayed? The ark he was going to build was by revelation. Nobody has done it before. If you are going to do what nobody has done before, the source has to be a source that nobody can counter. It has to be God. That means God will set you to praying before the plan and purpose of God can work in your life. That's the way God works. So when Noah was asked to prepare, it means the preparation started where? In the spirit. He began to pray. He wasn't looking for building material first. The real building material was in the spirit. It was in the spirit that he saw how the ark should look like. That God spoke to him. These are the dimensions. It was in the spirit. And no one knew the ark is not salvation. The ark is a type of the salvation. No one knew. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not yet seen, he gave a testimony about Christ's coming by building the ark. How did he do it? In prayer. Hallelujah. In prayer. That's what John did. People left city and went to the wilderness to go and meet John. And though his sermon was ash, they kept coming. He was preaching the baptism of what? Repentance. And they kept coming. So people don't gather in a local assembly because the sermon is sweet. Hallelujah. Have you been to Dipala before? The only thing sweet is the sing-song voice of Pastor Kumbuyi. Have you heard the sermon before? How many of you have been to Dipala before? You've heard the sermon before? You know how they sing song way of preaching? You know what I'm talking about? You know? You have the sing song way of doing his declaration. That's the only thing sweet about it. There's weep inside the sermon for you. And yet, people are there in droves. Why? It's not what is said. It is what is behind what is said. Noah prepared in prayer. God uses men first in prayer before anything is physically built on the outside. As soon as Zion what? Travailed. She brought forth. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Genesis chapter 15. Let's look at Abraham Genesis chapter 18, rather. Verse 17. Look at Abraham. Other example. Genesis chapter 18. And verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become what? A great and mighty nations, and all the nations are where? Is that what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12? Yes. Genesis chapter 15? Yes. Genesis 17? Yes. So God is saying, notice what God, this is God's plan. Through Abraham, all the nations of earth shall be blessed in him. And therefore, I must review my plans. Why was God telling Abraham what was about to happen? What was God's plan? Through you, and like you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So what was God now doing? Since that's what is going to happen, God now began to reveal his plans to Abraham for one particular purpose. So that Abraham, the first person recorded in the scriptures as a righteous man, not the first righteous man, the first person recorded as a righteous man, could step into the place of prayer. Let me say this way. Think about it this way. Because we think that we need to cajole God. Judgment was about to fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah. God comes to his covenant partner, Abraham, or that righteous man upon the earth. God comes to that man, reveals to that man what's about to happen, so that the man can do something for God to do what he wants to do. Let me say it another way. There are many things God wants to do that God can do until you and I step into the place of prayer. So when we say, take some time to pray and fast, listen carefully. If you do 1 hour, you know you did 1 hour. After 24 hours, you can excuse yourself, but it will never serve God's purpose in its fullness. You did 15 minutes. You said you fasted. You said you prayed. You know, we're not there to check whether you break or not. It's not even the breaking or not breaking that's the issue, but the fact that during that time, when you were without food, you were with something else. Glory to God. I'm supposed to do this during the week to explain a bit to us more about fasting, because some of us think fasting means abstinence from food. Then Buddhists are fasting, and those who don't have food in their house are also fasting. You know, you may not eat because there's no food to eat. You may say, I convert it to fasting. You cannot convert. You can only convert fasting if you've been intense in prayer. In fact, the idea of fasting in the New Testament is that you are so busy with prayer, you don't have time for food. It's not that there's something that moves God. See empty stomach. I must move. God is not flesh and blood. Say, Bataio, this is the 18th hour you have not eaten. What do you say you want? You know, we think carnally. We think that's how God does it. See how serious she is. What is it? That's kind of thinking. That's why, because sometimes some things just amuse me when people just do it. You are a mother. You are cooking for your children. You just mistakenly, which is instinctive, you tasted. Are broken. What did you break? You tasted the food that you have salt. Is it not better than the food you have too much salt? You say, I broke my fasting. You now cook put the 3-course meal. This is how God is looking at you. Google say you want to eat before. Because are you tasted, it doesn't break your fast. Hallelujah. It doesn't break your fast. Taking water doesn't break your fast. Fasting is of the heart. There are things you're abstaining from. You see, you're not eating food, but you are watching a movie and series. It's called passage of time. It's not fasting. You are dieting. You are pretending that you are going to break. You are not that's not fasting. So we do some things that just think that because empty stomach doesn't do anything to God, it doesn't have anything. No. Those who did 40 days fasting in the scriptures, supernaturally in the glory of God, their physical functions were suspended by the glory of God. But within that 40 days, something was happening to their mind under the power of God, which is the focus of God during fasting. I hope you know what you put in your tummy can affect your mind. In fact, you can eat till you cannot think. You can't see anything. The spirit of somebody is upon you heavily because your tummy is too full. And that's one reason why when you pray in the spirit long enough, when you started, your mind was traveling in places. Shoe, tie my shoe, here, wig, lipstick, makeup, my dress, tailor. What's happening? Salary, how much in the account? Have they paid? You think I don't know? It's traveling. Then the time comes when your mind begins to work in the spirit. What happened? You prayed long enough. And as you prayed, as though you were taking a journey, you're walking, walking, until you walked away from all those concerns. And you're now on the same page with God. What are you now picking up? God's mind. And God's counsel is now clearer. For each one of us, the time frame it takes is different, depending on how much you have exercised yourself. And that's why the area you exercise yourself the most is the area where you have experiences the most. If you don't move the spirit, spiritual experiences will build to you like this. You'll know when God is saying, don't eat. You know when God is saying, today is fine. You know when God is trying to tell you, don't go for the meeting. You know when he's trying to tell you, at 2 a.m., pray now, because something is going to come in the morning that you need strength to handle. You know. But if you normally, watch Syrian movie till 12 a.m., it's not likely you'll be awake by 4. Because you'll be tired naturally. You should be tired. But if you had picked it up before, because you've exercised yourself in this area, because you're about to travel, and travel means God will put something on the inside, his own emotions, that you will be able to push in place of prayer for certain things to break forth in your life and many times in the life of others. So this is God with Abraham now. Abraham is a righteous man. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for what? Righteousness. A man that has a standing before God. A man that God can walk through. That's what righteousness also means. So God came to Abraham. This thing's about to happen. For what I set you to come to pass, I need you to pray. Abraham began to pray. Now, remember, Abraham was not in Sodom or Gomorrah. So in that sense, Abraham should not be concerned. Who is concerned? God is concerned. So the concern of God became Abraham's concern. That's one of the things God does to us in prayer. His concern becomes what? Our concern. And much more today that you and I are children of God. His concern becomes what? Your concern. You are not the one in the north. You are not the one in Sudan. How come you find yourself praying for somebody in Sudan? God is concerned about that person. And looking for somebody he can trust with the same concern. Somebody who has been given to prayer consistently. So he can roll over his compassion. What he wants to do upon you in your heart so you can pray it out. Because why? God cannot do anything upon the earth until somebody prays. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Noah being warned of God, prepared an ark. He prayed the ark out to the saving, not just of his household and of others. He prayed it out. That was preparation. It was prayer. The same thing that John did. Now, this is Abraham now. So we're seeing graphic example, and look at what happened. So Abraham began to pray. We saw that 2 weeks ago or so. Abraham began to pray. What did he do? He prayed God's will in that situation based on his level of knowledge. And that was how Lot was rescued. Lot and his family were rescued because Abraham prayed. Abraham was in a comfort zone. Hallelujah. There was nothing selfish about this prayer. Abraham was a man of faith. And as we go on, we'll see that faith that you have, it works by love. And part of that love is that God will roll that burden upon you. Listen, brothers and sisters. Listen, we're not an assembly that spends hours just praying just for our own needs. Your needs will be sorted. Say amen. Many times in Holy Ghost meetings, are your needs not sorted? Several times. But that's not what we're called to. We're called to labor together with God where? In prayer. And that's why a lot of times when he pushes you to pray, you will also benefit from it. You will benefit from it. But many times lives are waiting to be affected. And God needs someone he can trust. So when it comes to you by his spirit, because his spirit within you is a sign that you are potentially trustworthy. His spirit within you is how he brings those burdens. Sometimes God is just waiting for the merest excuse for you to open your mouth and start praying, and then he rolls the burden upon you. Why? He has been trying to get somebody he hasn't gotten. When you step in the place of prayer, you are enlisting yourself. He says, that's it. Start praying this out so that I can do what needs to be done upon the heart. Listen carefully. People like John Wesley, there was a place where, a city where he went to minister, I heard. They went to all kinds of debauchery, all kinds of righteous living. Before he went to that city, he prayed. Charles G. Finney did the same thing. 4 hours every single morning. Every single day, 4 hours. Labor in prayer. Yet he had another man who was also praying for him, who goes into the woods to go and pray of any city. When that man enters, listen carefully. This evangelism is not by struggle. Tell your neighbor, it's not by struggle. It's not by having arguments. No. How can one man stand in a place? Who is standing in one place? No microphone. One message. 3,000 souls. It's not natural. Our pastor, Babala, did not have an education. He'd be standard 6 at the most. And he will pray. And his prayer affected nations and cities. No education. You have an education. It should be a plus. I put up a post this morning. God can trust a man of prayer than a man of the word. Because if you are truly a man of the word, you'll be given to prayer. God can trust more a man of the prayer than somebody who claims to know the word. Because every man who is given to prayer will eventually find himself fulfilling God's agenda upon the earth. Because prayer is a sign you're telling God, I can't do it in my own strength. It's except you do it through me. And prayer is that theater where God is able to operate through you to affect the life of others. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just bear with me as it's coming out. I have notes. But something, there's just something about this season. A lot of things I'm saying to you, I'm saying by instant inspiration on the spot. Because it's just been so strong on the inside. And I know when that happens, we're on the brink of something huge in the spirit. Noble House came into existence through prayer, not by idea. 2 years of praying before Noble House was born. 2 years of praying. I was thrown into seasons of prayer. Seemingly for no reason. It took me a while to find out that was what was happening. I would just start praying. Just start praying. Just start praying. 2 years. How will it start? You don't know. Many things you don't know. A husband and wife have intercourse. They don't know which one will work. They keep trying anyway. Even when it happens, thank God for the day we have modern science that can show you through a scan the sex. Before there was modern science, they didn't know any, is anything you have. And now comes out, take. But today, they can plan it. Beyond today, people can even decide certain things that people can do that can determine what the sex of the child. How does the hand grow? You don't know. How does the bone form in a child? And the child is still curled up in a fetal position. You don't know. How come the head is developing? The brain is developing. How come the child knows instinctively how to feed? You don't know, but God knows. And that's a parable of prayer. I mean, you look at a woman sometimes, they are mysteries. Women are mysteries. They carry that for 9 months. And as she's carrying, whatever she's carrying is determining her mood per time. And then after that same woman, some of them are small, some of them, child just comes up and then they go back to normal. And like somebody said, when a woman's giving birth like this, she's thinking, never again. After this, never again. Give her 1 year. 9 months gestation period, carrying something on the inside. Excited to see what is eating come out. The same principle in prayer. You pray, nothing on the outside, but the inside is a bubbling. On the inside, there's excitement. Nothing on the outside is changing. The sky is clear. But on the inside, the cloud is gathering. It's about to rain. You bend your heart, you continue. And I will not stop until I see the fruit. Imagine a woman after a pregnancy, I can't even see, nothing is even growing. It's growing, but the time comes. And you know, some women are very wonderful. I know a woman that said that she was. He went to the hospital to treat malaria. And when he told her that she was 6 months pregnant, he said the baby was hiding. She felt nothing like pregnancy. Just like, you're feeling feverish. When she was supposed to do, Madam, it's not malaria. His baby. Say, how? The normal way happens. The baby was hiding. That means she had only 3 months left. How? The same thing in prayer. You're praying. You don't know how far-reaching the consequences will be. But God puts you in that place of birth where you're pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. Once you understand the mechanics, Abraham prayed. What did God want to do? Save Lot and his family. But somebody had to what? Pray. God just can't interrupt the normal course of events. He can't. Somebody has to pray. Somebody has to be God's stretched out arm on the earth in prayer. And that's why before God can work out that deliverance, if the person stops praying, God is hindered from doing what he wants to do. Hallelujah. This man will pray and they will tell God in prayer, you don't think we're not going to have a revival in this place, do you? I'm sure you know we must have a revival here. That man passed through a city, John Wesley. 100 years after, nobody sold or bought liquor in that city. Something flushed through that place. The glory of God. Nobody sold or bought liquor. Nobody was interested in drinking in that city. Today you are talking to people that are smoking. You know what I mean, like that. They will get, that's if you get too close, you will get high also. You don't handle those kind of people with just words. You handle them in prayer. When you speak, you don't speak much. You don't talk for long. You're not trying to debate. You are presenting the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is. Hallelujah. Say with me, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Nobody can resist it if it's done in the power of the Spirit. That means it's done first of all by what? Prayer. Hallelujah. Now listen carefully. As we're praying this season, yes, we're going to multiply, we're going to increase numerically, financially and materially also. But understand that as we go after men, and we're going after men, we first do so where? In prayer. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, multiply. Duplicate yourself. Get into the soul winner's corner. Begin to give back to more and more souls by the power of God. How do you get it done? Because listen carefully. When you step out to preach without praying, you will be discouraged. How many of you notice, particularly in Lagos, that they always tell you that I'm born again? It's a lie. And you don't know what to say again after you say I'm born again. How many of you do that? Are you saved? Yes. Until you are bold enough to interrogate for that. Are you saved? No, they are just saying that to dispatch you. Shall I be going? But when you pray before you step out, the results will be different. The results will be different. The results will be different. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 20. Remember Genesis chapter 18 verse 17, what we just saw. God said, I will not hide from Abraham that which I want to do, knowing that through him shall all nations of that be blessed. Now look at Genesis chapter 20. Look at what God now did. Genesis 20 verse 7. Let me read from verse 2. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech cannot come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou also slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even herself said, is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in my hands have I done this. But God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also will tell thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not allow you to touch her. Now, therefore, look at verse 7. Restore the man what? His wife. For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you. Part of that work, when it comes to praying, was that Abraham will preach the gospel to that man. As part of the prayer, he will preach the gospel to that man. But notice, he will pray for you. So, what happened? Abraham's wife was taken. Listen to what I'm about to say. Challenges and troubles of life push us more into prayer than any other thing can. This doesn't sound Christocentric, but it's a fact. Challenges and troubles in life have a tendency to push us where? Into prayer. More than almost any other thing can. In other words, in seeking God's face in challenges, it's easier for you to realize the things God wants to do. What happened to Abraham? His wife was taken. This is a righteous man. What did God tell? Did God want the man destroyed? Nope. All was God's plan. Through Abraham shall all the families of the earth be what? Blessed. How will Abimelech be saved? You have to meet a man who is already saved. Who is man who is saved? At least by promise, Abraham. How will he meet Abraham? You don't plan it, but through your own activity, you want somebody else's wife? You take the wife? Abraham is seeking the face of God. They've taken my wife. I don't have any other wife. God is talking to Abimelech. Restore the man his wife, or you are gone. The man is a prophet. He will pray for you. Abraham, you go and pray. I've opened the door to preach the gospel now. So why both of you are praying? God is working. So Abraham, affliction. So God, an opportunity for Abimelech to be what? Be saved. What happened? And Abraham prayed for Abimelech. Don't look at it just ordinary praying. That was how the gospel reached someone like Abimelech. Because Abraham was God's righteous man upon the earth. And there was no other way to reach except through somebody who already knows God. So Abraham prayed for Abimelech. And things turned around. Who is Abraham? The man that believes God. whose faith was counted for what? Righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? So God is showing Abraham his method. The prayer is not about yourself. Your preaching is not about yourself. Your being a prophet is not about yourself. It's about what? Others. And as Abraham prayed for Abimelech, not only was Sarah released, Abraham got blessed because he was giving offerings. But Abimelech, God reached Abimelech. But how did he come about? Challenges came. Psalm 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What happens? What happens? That's the part that most of us know. We don't start from verse 1. But look at verse 1. Psalm 34 verse 1. Are you with me this morning? Praise God. As you step over into another place of prayer, this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. This is after the fact. Deliverance has taken place. I sought the Lord and he had me and delivered me from all my... Who wrote this psalm? David did. David did. And some things David said are prophetic. We don't have time today to go through all. But in Psalm 119, we're going to come back here. This, which verse is it? Verse 4? We're going to look at Psalm 119, verse 67. Look at what David said. Before I was afflicted, let me use normal English. Before I was in trouble, I went astray. So at the time when there's ease, he just promoted you at the office. You are now a big boy. And you're now using a car. You can afford certain things you didn't couldn't afford before. You go on vacations. Before you used to pray about everything, but now you know money is there. You don't have to pray about anything. Just follow the direction of the money. Whatever the money I can afford, you know, just like, you know, so. Like somebody said, you can use money to buy debt if you're not careful. Why? Because if you're not following God, you can use money to buy what can destroy. You can. So, you know, you've not joined the golf club where they will entice you to drink. You're not a social drinker. I just drink socially, just once in a while. Bible doesn't say that we should not drink. It doesn't say we should not get drunk. Who is measuring drunkenness? I just drink. So good. You drink socially. And you're already going astray. Because like David, too much comfort. A man that used to go to war is not in the palace. He's seeing something else on the balcony when he should be at war. That's what comfort does sometimes. You get too comfortable. Bring wine, bring grapes. After a while, that you are even lying down. You're not even eating it. They are putting grief in your mouth. Too much comfort. You are at ease. This is David. Every single step, should I pursue? Should I overtake? He will ask everything. He will pray and ask. But when comfort comes, after all, how much does it cost? Because there's enough money. Money has its own language. You can afford anything. But really, you can't afford everything. Are you with me this morning? You need to understand the place of following God, because there are things God can see you can't see. And that's why you are in partnership with him. So you can always rest. People will offer you contrasts that are juicy, but they are a trap. How do you know the difference? If you have business associates that you drink together, they will slip it in. But because you no longer pray, you're no longer aware that this is a trap. You can tell. Before I was afflicted, I went away. But now, after I have kept thy word. Look at verse 71. We won't like that. It is good for me. I have been afflicted. I might what? Learn. I might learn thy what? You missed a few times. He said, okay. I got too comfortable. I stopped praying before I took decisions. I missed a few times. I lost investments. I've learned. I must always pray before I take a step. Which was how you started in the first place. You want to invite someone into your home? You didn't pray. You want to take on a relative? You didn't pray. Upon you came to travel, you didn't. In fact, most of you will not pray. This is how you come. Rev, sir. God just opened the door for my family. When you come to your pastor like that, he can't cancel you. That's how to tie a pastor's hands. Sir, God is telling me, just know you are telling pastor, don't say anything. That's what you are saying, really. Once you come with that, a wise church member will say, sir, I'm sensing to do this, or I have this opportunity, what do you think? But when you come in, God said, I will not tell you, God did not say, I cannot now. Where's my, am I God? Even though I'm more experienced. I know that thing you're saying is not God, it's your mind. It's your desire that is speaking. And because you don't know the difference between your voice of your desire and the voice of God, you see every single door as God's door. No. No. See, listen carefully. Practically speaking, I had the experience in my service here. I was given a job before I left where I was not. And the minute the job came, peace left my heart. I didn't follow the job. I followed the peace that left. I started praying. Why am I not feeling so excited? Because some of us, we ignore it. How can they give you visa? And somebody said that I'll pay for your trip down. And then there's an unease, which is a gift of God to you because you are a child of God. The Spirit bears witness what? With our spirit that we are. But because Canada, Ontario. That's simple. You cannot think again. You see, you quench the unease. I'm fine. Everything is fine. The Lord says, you're even prophesying. The Lord says, you are trying to silence the thing is like, it's getting like, no. But, Brother Steve, what do you think? Let's pray together. It's like I sense that God is saying that you are doing everything to suppress what you know on the external environment is fine, but the internal is not. And the internal is what God works with. Hallelujah. Then that's where God works with. You want to move, but there's an hesitation on the inside. That's God at work. What should you do? Stay and pray until you have a go-ahead. If no go-ahead comes, stay where you are. Don't move. Tarry until I bring you word again, is what God says. Stay where you are until I bring you word again. Don't make a move. Don't get trapped with, I already told them that 3 months' time we're going to, you said so, you also said not again. You are not saying so again. Do you hear what I said? I hope you know we do it in ministry. We're going for so. We're not going again. God says, no time. I don't have to explain to you. We're just not going because I will not let you trap me. Because I'm not the one that will do the work. Hallelujah. Opportunities will come. And it's not every opportunity that God is at work through. So you have to be sensitive enough to know that your internal environment is regulated by prayer. So that you can know how to move in the direction God is what moving you. Interestingly enough, this thing is so strong. Even those who don't know God, they sense it. Those who know God are meant to be more practiced at yielding to it and not resisting it. So that when God is moving you that way. I told a couple, listen carefully, in marriage counseling. Pastor Jimmy handles marriage counseling mostly now. And usually if you get married on time, we'll tell you, before you start having kids, have 1 year together. So each of you can what? Because you dance separately, he dances separately. The two of you are about to dance together. That's what marriage is. You're about to dance together, and you have been dancing separately before. The only way to master and not to frequently step on the toes of the person you are dancing with is to dance well and for long. You get my parable? Do you get my parable? It's a dance, so you will step on toes. You say, sorry, I won't put my foot there again. You dance, you continue dancing. And then, how come your rhythm is different from my own? Hey, because I've been dancing separately from you. It's not that we started dancing. So I have to master your rhythm. You know my word, rhythm. Then we can do salsa. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That's not split. Let's continue. But here's what I'm saying. So spend a year together before having, don't rush it. That counsel is a counsel that is predicated on normalcy. If you sense differently, don't follow it. Do you hear me? Don't follow it. Listen, I know a couple. After they had the first child, they wanted to go for family planning. This is what God said, no. They ignored it. Till as I'm speaking, nothing has happened. Some forms of discipline can be very expensive and costly. And every other thing you're doing is missing after that. So we give that counsel to help your relationship, but it's not casting iron. We tell you, this is what you should do. But if you sense differently, follow that what? Leading. Because if you disobey that leading, things may go awfully wrong. Let me go awfully wrong. It is important. You are not a natural being. You are a supernatural being. This is what God is tabernacle within you. He is giving you instructions. There are promptings. There are yearnings. Those things just become amplified as you pray. Hallelujah. So learn how to yield to it. Because the more you give yourself prayer, the more pronounced those things will be. The more pronounced those things will be. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. Job chapter 42. Hallelujah. So Abraham prayed. For who? Abimelech. What happened? Abimelech was saved. He and his family. Now remember, the same thing happened to Job. Job 42. Are you there? Verse 7. And it was so after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy true friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, as my servant Job has. Who is Job? A servant of God. Are you with me this morning? Look at next verse. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks. That sounds like Abimelech again, isn't it? Abimelech, take what? Take rams, take ewes, take it to Abraham. He is a prophet. He shall pray for you. Look at Job's case now. Take unto you 7 bullocks, 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall what? Pray for you. Notice, for him will I accept. Lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. And now God is saying, the consequences of your words will fall upon you, except Job intercedes for you. Who is Job? Somebody who is God's spokesman. Who will pray for God to be able to work in your life to avert judgment? So, what is Job's situation? He was afflicted. How will the affliction cease? You will pray for somebody else. And when you are praying, God will do what he wants to do in their life. But when he's doing it, he will be able to do what he wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me see your hand. Now, remember, faith worketh by what? Love. So the faith of Job for a turnaround began to work as he began to exercise love in place of prayer. He prayed for his friends. God says, Job has a standing before me. You don't have a standing before me. And what they've said, we stand against them. But when you pray for them, are we able to avert the judgment? And as Job did that, something happened to Job also. God restored Job and gave him double of what he had. That means in the place of prayer, Job's heart and prayer allow God to do what he always wanted to do, rectify what all the enemy has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So David said, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. I may want learn your statutes. But I always say this, don't wait for affliction to come. Don't wait for trouble to come. Don't wait for challenges to come. Burden yourself in prayer. Step out in prayer for yourself, by yourself. Pick up burdens as you go along the way. And as you do, many things, before they ever happen in your life, as an experience, will have been sorted out in a place of prayer. I prayed out ministry, prayed out marriage, prayed out children, before any of them happen. Just kept praying out. Prayed out where I will be, where I'm meant to go to. We have that supernatural privilege to be able to pray ahead of time. Events in our lives before they want unfold. Things don't just happen to us. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer, we're able to receive instructions and impartations for things to happen according to God's will for our lives. Praise God forevermore. So many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what happens? The Lord delivers him through them all. Why? The angel of God then comes on about them by fame to deliver them. So understand that as you're praying, now we give you a prayer focus, that's what you are praying about. There are other things you are praying about you are not fully aware you are praying about. But as you plunge yourself in place of prayer, the Spirit of God will take that opportunity to begin to lead you and guide you to pray out things that you don't even think you ought to pray about. That's what he does. So every time you step into prayer, you are giving God an opportunity to do much more than your mind thinks when it comes to what you want to accomplish. You don't know what's going to happen in September of 2026. God knows. Tomorrow is like today before God. And he knows tomorrow better than yesterday. You don't know what will happen in May of 2027. God does. He knows the kind of job you're supposed to be doing at that time. He knows the opportunity that will come your way. He knows the country you're likely to be living in. You don't know. John G. Lake gave a testimony about how dissatisfaction came into his heart. He was a rich, successful businessman, one of the best insurance salesmen in the U.S. in those days. Yet his passion for the gospel was so strong. It got to a time when customers would be discussing business with him. All he would be seeing is the condition of their souls. Began to pray. A man that is comfortable, doing very well in business. And that's why I tell people that any genuine pastor that God has called, there's always an opportunity cost. It's not that you were jobless. You didn't have work. God doesn't call people that don't have work. Ministry is not an escape route. He doesn't call those who don't have work. No, there's always an opportunity cost. Something you probably would have been doing before it caused you to come and do something else. So it's not for jobless people. Because it takes a lot of diligence and commitment. So it was a rich business, wealthy. In those days, if you're making up to $80,000 a year, when to make $2,000 a year is a lot of money. You were making $80,000 every year, turnover. And then the overall capital of the business was in millions. And yet there was a disaffection on the inside. He kept praying. A man that is comfortable in the U.S. saw in a vision he was meant to be in South Africa. He saw the place where it was meant to be in South Africa. He saw how long it was meant to be in South Africa. It was meant to be there for 5 years. So he began to pray. 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months he was praying. He continued praying. And as he prayed, he began to see the vision more and more. Listen carefully. Say, God is a supernatural God. He's still working miracles. He's still working miracles. He's still bringing about supernatural connections. The month of May and June and July, there are connections that God will bring me into that will fast forward his plan and purpose of my life. There are answers to my prayer in supernatural relationships that are coming my way this season. I will not miss any of them. I will not walk in strife. I will not walk in bitterness. I will not grumble. I will not murmur. I will not complain. I will stay in tandem with God's plans and purpose of my life. I will walk with him. I will obey his leading. I will follow his prompting. I will sow. I will sacrifice. And I will pray. I will give as instructed. A door is open unto me. Harvest is coming. Huge harvest is coming. Increase is coming. I will not fail of God's plan for my life. I will walk in the fullness of it. This is my season. You can write it down. I tell you as a matter of fact. Relationships, associations, they are praying out now, this season, that will make for so much progress before the year is out. John Gilly went to South Africa. In a 5-year period, the work some people will do for a lifetime, 1,250 preachers raised, 625 local assemblies in 5 years. Nothing natural about that kind of results. Nothing natural. Nothing natural about that. You are a supernatural being. Stop thinking everything about you can be calculated. Nobody can do 2 + 2, which your life is 4. No. If they can, you have stepped out of your place of priesthood, which is place of prayer. They should not be able to predict your hand from your beginning. No. No. Like the wind, as you pray, where God will take you, where you're meant to be, nobody but you and God should know. Every other person on the outside should be able to what? Confirm. Because there's no limitation. A man without an education in a village has been located by people from far countries. Because the man was given to prayer and his destiny was for the nations. He was in a small hamlet in the village. He prayed and prayed and prayed until those who would bring him and take him to the nations, they came looking for him where he was. That's how much God trusts a man who prays. Because you are telling God, I cannot trust my ability. I can't trust my natural connections. I can't even trust my certificate or my qualifications. But I trust you. The invisible hand walking behind the scenes, I trust that invisible hand. So I will give myself to praying so that it will be easier for God to walk out through my life all that he wants to walk out. Can we pray this morning? Can we pray this morning? Just for a few minutes, pray in the Holy Ghost. And say, Father, I trust you. Father, I lean upon your hand. The right association, the right relationship. The things I'm asking for, I'm going about it the wrong way. There are things I want that I shouldn't really want. There are things I should want and I've not been able to look out for. Help me. Change my heart. Steer me in the right direction. Let my desires align with yours. Fill my heart with the right passion. Fill my heart with the right desires. Let your will prevail. Let your counsel be uppermost in my heart. Let all the things I have to do with selfishness fall by the wayside. Let your counsel shine brightly on Asa. It's not by power nor my mind, but by my spirit, 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 by the spirit of God, by the spirit of God, by the energy of God, in the name of Jesus. In a mumbro kafreste le gigisteko, ekubrazo, lendropo strevraste kestia, lesaprakopo kavretika le gigigishi prosta, les frukapo, lemingro, bakativre dika la gigishuke, by your spirit, pasubrakusto, ede braka kigele braka kigoguzuru, elibreshe broste, ele brunga vraste ke kise breste ke le gigish, ele subraka vraste ke brakataki. Ingo bro gadisteko, a bongreste na mashiro, en zubra brakor, en embranki ke libre ki ke gubro kugishi breste kasiya, estro ko bonoko, inke ki ke liga nashte, en gusa brokore, elam brokoshi, en si broko braka ki ke breste ke si se breste ke, en gasa man brojo, en ki ma ingroma, les zubra katana gate, en kato no bosto, estre bono, en pretile ki ke libre ki ke kila. Braka gige gige shekros le sobra gati ganaya e kubronka braka gige gisho le sobra le embrego embrega gusto proste frete le gika takala gati na kageche o proste fadani le sembro kotul le braka gige libreke koko braka si ke le kise broja sata le sobra kaki ge kise brata gati ya o proste ba proste frasta frada gati le bropa ki broku ge braka gige 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 gesere teriano Oshe brastenema, e prosa fragatenia, e namum brokibre, kike sese, e strutu brost e brast, e se broku safrata bradaka, e kakatile kigesh, e stroko bogore, e braka kaseba, e somumbro, e se bra brasta broko gefreste getiana, e so brugoste, oh brakasina, oh brakasine, e so brakatele gege, e kakombro koke. Frasteke e grige shebro exobrokus esabra kokobroko ekisebregate etabro shapata estabra katubo epine kakaseleke o kopros 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 frasta frasta pregatia ene akaku e kalia makoko giges engasa engasa e pasobroki bragatene e sharkuste fregatine mano e mopro pasetene ashta Le sonuko po brake ke ishe breke together. Man breke ke so broko prastata. E so bori katenia. Landro kopo. In a cambro coco gasis brish, le shubroca frastacana, o comolo, ele brago, ye hibracas, e cubrongos, e brekika talagate, ele no cumbro coco gile grishi, e stroco bogotenia, leasa, lembroco, lambrugo gojebreki egiseta, oh, sambro bagatile gige jike, oh, masebredi galagi gizile gusto, oh, sabraco talagi gishi. Oh, sabreke tolo mako. Le sobaka ni anokush. Le shubronge vrasa kite. E sobroko talaga kishte. Yes, frugata nangashte. E na sabroko geti la kashte. Ne samaru kustu. Hallelujah. Besu bradu goliana kikishe koto. Subakala di anishtugo. Besu kura di anashe. Besini ako. Besini ako. Pessine ako. Pessele puluku kia le shu. It's been such a struggle as though you are alone in this world. Yeah, pessele gugu stia. Your mind is under that terrible attack by the enemy. And he has told you, you are going to die. You are going to die. And nothing can save you from this affliction. You are going to die. And fear has engulfed your heart. There has been a wrestling. But victory is yours. Victory is yours. Victory is yours. The yoke of the enemy is broken. Your mind is free. You will live. You will live. You will live. You will live. You will not die. You will live. You will live. Fear not. You will live. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You've seen the pattern. Yeah. That's how they passed on. But that's not how you will pass on. No, it's not your time. It's not your time. The lies of the enemy, they come to an end. In the name of Jesus. That fear is gone. The yoke that the enemy used to ensnare is broken. And you are escaped. You are escaped in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you. For this week is a week of supernatural burdens. Burdens fall upon our hearts. We pray at your will. We pray at your counsel. We travail in prayer by your energy, by your strength. We push things. We move things around. We press through. We prevail in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for helping us. Thank you for the spirit of grace and supplications to effect your will upon the earth. This is our season. This is our season. This is our season. We thank you for it as a people, as an assembly. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' precious name.